Welcome to the Places Where We Go podcast. Hello, I'm Julie.
And I'm Art. Join us as we share our travel stories. We'll tell you about where we've been, what we saw, and what we did. We're always looking for a bit of an adventure.
Sometimes we travel far. Sometimes we explore the places close to our home. Wherever we go, we'll let you know about the highlights and top tips to help you plan your future adventures.
This is the Places Where We Go podcast. Hello, fellow travelers, and welcome to the Places Where We Go podcast. Today, we embark on an exciting journey to two destinations near Death Valley National Park, the Amargosa Opera House and Ash Meadows National Wildlife Refuge. Both of these places are located just outside the east entrance to Death Valley National Park in the Amargosa Valley in Nevada. If you're looking for some less popular and off-the-beaten-path attractions when you visit Death Valley National Park, then this episode is for you.
Our day trip begins with a visit to the historic Amargosa Opera House, steeped in rich history and artistic legacy. We first stopped at the location on the prior trip in 2020, but only wandered on the outside of the property. You can see a bit of that visit in the YouTube video, which we'll link to in our show notes. The Amargosa Opera House was built in 1923 by the Pacific Coast Borax Company as a community center for their employees. The company also brought in performers to entertain the workers and their families. However, after the mining operation ceased in the 1930s, the Opera House fell into disrepair and was eventually abandoned. And that's when things got interesting. In the 1960s, dancer and actress Marta Beckett stumbled upon the Opera House while on a road trip. She fell in love with its charm and saw potential in its neglected state, which was pretty bad by that time. With no audience or stage, she decided to take matters into her own hands and began renovating the Opera House. She painted murals on the walls. She created costumes and sets. Beckett's one-woman show, A Dance in Death Valley, became a hit and brought international attention to the Amargosa Opera House after she was featured in the National Geographic magazine. Over the years, Beckett continued to perform and share her love for the arts with visitors from all over the world. Her legacy lives on through the performances she held at the Opera House. Today, you can take a tour of the inside of the Opera House to view the stunning murals she painstakingly painted by herself over the many years she was there.
Yeah, so these tours, I believe they're offered twice a day. And I think it cost something like $15 a piece when we visited.
Yeah.
And the tour included a brief, you know, walk on the outskirts of the property where we got some history about the legacy that you just shared, Julie. And then we got to go inside. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you enter through the doors.
It takes you by surprise.
Yeah. It's an amazing mm-hmm. space that you wouldn't expect to find in the middle. This place is literally in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the desert. And I think I heard on some TV show that we saw several years ago that part of the way that she painted inside was inspired by the Globe Theater, the Shakespeare Theater in London. Mm-hmm. We've not been to that, mm-hmm. so I can't compare and contrast. But it's all four walls are murals.
Ceiling.
The ceiling's painted, mm-hmm. yeah.
Which she did herself on scaffolding.
Over many, many years.
Yep.
Yeah, one woman with a vision, with dedication, and a lot of perseverance. And I believe when she was performing, she would perform if there was an audience. She would perform if there was one person.
She would perform if there were none.
Yeah.
And that's what inspired the murals. Mm-hmm. Because she got tired of performing in front of nobody, so she decided to paint her audience on the walls.
And we learned that she was performing all the way into her 80s, like mid-80s.
Yeah. 84. And not only that, she was a ballerina. Not only that, she was in her 80s dancing on toes, mm-hmm. which amazes me.
Yeah. So,
and then unfortunately, she did break her hip and she could no longer do that.
Yeah. So super interesting story, mm-hmm. super interesting place to visit. If you do find yourself in the area, we recommend take the tour so you can go inside. The Opera House these days doesn't do performances like week in, week out, but there are several times a year where there's performances. And I believe February is a month that they try to target because I think it's tied to some anniversary related to Martha Beckett. So that was stop number one. And after visiting the Amargosa Opera House, we hopped in the car and took a short drive north to the Ash Meadows National Wildlife Refuge.
Yes, you gave me a choice, remember?
No, I don't remember.
Yes, you gave me a choice to go to somewhere we'd been before or to go to Ash Meadows. And I chose the Ash Meadows, and I'm so glad I did.
It's always neat to see something brand new.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is a hidden gem that I think we'd put as a must visit for nature lovers and outdoor enthusiasts if you find yourself in this corner of Nevada. And this is a place that we had actually seen on, I think, on a few shows. So there's a YouTuber that we follow that we, a few months ago, I think, she visited there. And then when we were at the place, I think we were having a conversation about where else have we seen this before. Mm-hmm. And somebody mentioned seeing it on Rock the Park, which was a show about the national parks. And I believe on their Death Valley episode, they probably had an excursion to Ash Meadows because it is connected to Death Valley. Located in the Mojave Desert, Ash Meadows National Wildlife Refuge is a unique and diverse ecosystem that is home to over 26 endemic species. And you're going to find species here that are only found in this particular area and nowhere else in the world. It's a great example of conservation efforts and showcases the importance of protecting our natural habitats. And we learned when we were at the visitor center that there was an effort, I think a few decades ago, where some land company had acquired rights to this land, and they were going to build a huge development. I think it was like condos and retail stores.
They started building it.
And the conservationists, in part, got involved because there's some very unique wildlife that if the project went forward, I think would probably have rendered these species extinct.
Mm-hmm. Would have rendered them extinct, and they also did some kind of reevaluation, probably, of the kind of water usage it would take to build this very huge complex they were trying to build.
Yeah. So on one hand, I am for development and progress, but on the other hand, I'm also for preservation of important places. And once we saw this place, I was so glad that it was saved for visitors like us to enjoy and that this place was not one of the places chosen for economic development. So the drive into Ash Meadows, you turn off of the main highway, and then I think for a little bit, you find yourself on a more gravel road. And at times, as you wander through this place, you're going to also be driving through some dirt roads. It's a pretty vast area. And the way this place works is after you get to the visitor center, which we'll talk about in just a minute, you hop in your car and drive to various points throughout the refuge. You'll learn about them in the visitor center. They can help you identify what you can do during your visit. But you are getting in your car, driving from point A to point B, and then doing your exploration. So you can spend hours exploring this refuge. There's hiking trails, and there's just interesting sights that you can see. Each offers a different perspective of the landscape and the inhabitants in the area. You might even spot rare species such as the devil's hole pupfish, Ash Meadows speckled dace, and the Amargosa toad.
We saw one.
We did.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
As we always do, we highly recommend visiting the visitor center before you're heading out onto your hike or your drive, wherever you choose to go. It helps you to learn more about the refuge's history, the conservation efforts that they had, and tips for spotting some wildlife. The knowledgeable staff and volunteers, they're very passionate, very helpful, and they'll tell you about the refuge, and they are very, very happy to share with any visitors that come in. The exhibits inside provide great information about the area also, and they help make your visit way more informed. So we do recommend you stop there first. We did speak to some volunteers that were at the visitor center, and they gave us a map, and they highlighted a few locations that we were interested in exploring.
If you have the National Park Passport book, you can get a stamp inside the visitor center,
And I happened to leave my book at home because...
Of course you did.
Yeah, because I knew we were going to Death Valley National Park. I already have my stamp in there from prior visits. And I didn't think we were going to be going to any place new that had new places for passport stamps. So
right.
I don't have
it in my
book.
It's hard to remember everything. So. But they do have it where you can stamp a
piece of paper.
Yeah. You know, a blank piece of little paper and you can put it in your book.
I got that. I'm gonna place it in my book. So after we spoke to the folks inside and they pointed us on our way, the first thing we were going to see was just through the back doors of the visitor center, and this was the Crystal Boardwalk. So out the back doors we went, and there's this raised platform that winds around in a loop in the back of the visitor center through a peaceful and stunning desert landscape. It's a great introduction to the area. It's just a short, just under a mile loop walk, and it has a stop at Crystal Spring at its apex. Along the walk, you'll see crystal clear pools of water, towering cattails, and bright green reeds. The boardwalk also provides an up-close view of unique plant species, such as the quillwort, which is only found in this area. It's a peaceful and serene experience that's a nice start for your exploration of Ash Meadows.
And it is possible to see one of those rare pupfish that is so well known.
At the spring.
Yeah. They are in there, but we did not see anything because there was wind blowing.
There was a lot of wind, and the wind created this dynamic over the water that made it really difficult to see through it at that location.
Right. Yeah. And the distance you had away from the water, because you couldn't get down close to the water, was pretty far. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the things that was recommended was to have binoculars. Mm-hmm. So stop number two at this refuge was Devil's Hole. And knowing about this particular location was a main draw for our visit to Ash Meadows. Let us tell you about Devil's Hole. This deep, water-filled limestone cavern is home to one of the rarest species on Earth, the Devil's Hole pupfish. This small, bright blue fish can only be found in this specific location and nowhere else in the world. The pupfish has been able to survive in this isolated environment for thousands of years, making it a living relic and a testament to the resilience of nature. Scientists estimate that the Devil's Hole pupfish may have been isolated for 10,000 to 20,000 years, longer than any other species in the Death Valley system. And in 1967, the Devil's Hole pupfish were officially designated as an endangered species. The connection between Devil's Hole and Death Valley National Park is very strong, as this underground aquifer that feeds the cavern extends all the way down into Death Valley. Devil's Hole was added to Death Valley National Park back in 1952, and eventually the hole was fenced off after two divers drowned in its waters. Visitors can now view Devil's Hole from a fenced viewing platform and learn more about the pupfish history and conservation efforts. It was a pretty quick walk up to the actual cavern area. We didn't know which way to head off in the beginning because there was actually two places that had fencing around
it.
Yeah. And one was to the right, but there was this bigger area that was to the left. So we made our way over to this viewing platform, and there was actually scientists there that were doing some kind of experimentation there or whatever they're doing to try to get a count on these very rare fish. And I personally was kind of disappointed because you really can't see anything at all.
It was quite a distance from the viewing platform to the cavern area below. I mean, it probably was at least, 50 feet-ish or so, right?
There's no way you're going to see a fish.
Yeah, the water is just way too far away.
Yeah, these fish are little. They're very small.
The angle is awkward and difficult. So basically, once you get to this viewing platform, you know that this is where Devil's Hole is. You know there's fish there.
You see some water.
Yeah, but you can't see the pupfish from this location.
Right. That's why the volunteer at the visitor center said bring binoculars.
Yeah.
But I don't even think with binoculars you're going to see anything.
Yeah, I think at Devil's Hole itself it would be really difficult.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned that from the parking area, there was another viewing kind of area.
Yeah.
So you go up this slight hill. So we climbed that and there's another caged area.
My understanding, that was an area where they opened it up, actually, so they could send people down into the caverns to do some investigation.
Yeah, so I think, you know, one of the things to know about the Devil's Hole part of Ash Meadows is it is home to this endangered species, but at that particular location, don't expect to get a glimpse of the pupfish.
So here's an interesting fun fact, though, about Devil's Hole. It's an unusual indicator of seismic activity around the world. Acting as a sort of seismograph, large earthquakes from as far away as Asia and South America have caused the water to slosh in Devil's Hole like water in a bathtub. After such global seismic events, waves in Devil's Hole may splash as high as 2 meters up the walls, sweeping clean the shallow shelf that is so important to the pupfish.
That's pretty amazing that an earthquake half a world away can make the water here, swoosh around. After Devil's Hole, back in the car we go, and our next stop in Ash Meadows is a place called the Point of Rocks Boardwalk. This is another pleasant walk on a short 0.7-mile loop. This boardwalk offers a different perspective of the refuge with views of the vibrant green marshes and crystal-clear pools that are also home to unique pupfish. It's a great spot for bird watching with over 300 species of migratory birds that pass through Ash Meadows each year. And as we walked along this boardwalk, we were amazed, one, by the diversity and beauty of the landscape. And this walk culminates at an overlook called the Amphitheater. But the highlight here was stopping at a spring where we saw quite a large number of these blue pupfish.
Yes, it was very exciting. You could sit right next to the spring, and I started looking, and instantly I started seeing these little blue things swimming around, and it was, we stayed there for quite a while because it was just really fascinating.
Yeah, very peaceful and neat to see, and, you know, we knew that we were looking at, you know, a pretty amazing species, so we wanted to take in the moment, and this is why when you go to Ash Meadows, you will want to go to several spots because every place you go offers something different, a different perspective. And this is, I think, you know, based on our experience at least, probably the best place for viewing pupfish.
Absolutely. Yeah. We did move on, though, and there was another spring called the Long Street Spring. And there's a cabin that sits in this area also. This has a very interesting history.
But first, you got to make the drive.
You got to drive. So this also, the spring also is purported to have pupfish in it. But we will move on and tell you what we saw there. The drive was very interesting.
Yeah, I think, was it like a couple of miles at least?
Yeah, and there wasn't a lot of people on this. It was a dirt road.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a lot of people on this road at all. It was a road that I would say it's better to have a high clearance vehicle.
Yeah, we had our truck.
It could be a little rough.
Yeah, there was one place there was like a dip that I think we were concerned if we didn't have our truck that it might be a little difficult to maneuver.
Yeah, yeah. Overall, it wasn't bad. For us, it was pretty easy with the truck, but we did see people that had smaller SUVs, and I think I saw somebody with just a four-door car coming. I think it was a Mercedes, actually. Mm. Which I was a little shocked at. Okay, a little bit about this area and the cabin that sits on it. We reached the cabin. There was a small little parking area there. There was actually some pit toilets there and a great explanation of this cabin that sits in the area and the spring that is next to it. The sign near the cabin reads, "It was said at one time that every white man in Ash Meadows was on the dodge from something." And this is where Andrew Jackson Longstreet made his home for a while. He made notches in his gun for every man he killed. And with 5 notches on his weapon, he claimed to only regret 1. He built his cabin here at Ash Meadows to hide from posse fellows, and stones were piled high along one side to help keep his cabin hidden from view. Where he placed this cabin was extremely fascinating because there was immensely large stones, formations, mm-hmm. that's what you saw as you were walking in. You did not see the cabin until you were pretty much there at the cabin. Yeah. So he did a really good job of hiding this
kinda
cabin.
Camouflaged by the stones, yeah.
Yeah, so he homesteaded in this area from 1899 till 1907. He was in his 50s when he built the cabin, and he sold the cabin and another nearby property along with the water rights, and he got a whopping $30,000 for this exchange. That was a small fortune at that time. And with this cash in hand, he made the decision not to put it in the Nevada banks, which was a fantastic decision because the Nevada banks failed in the panic of 1907. Smart man. There is a spring, as we mentioned, adjacent to the cabin that provides water for the wildlife in this refuge area. We were able to get pretty close to the spring. There was a little bit of an overlook made there out of wood. So we got pretty close. There was a lot of reeds and plant life around it, so it was very hard to see it and get up close to it. Mm-hmm. So there was no pupfish to be seen in this spring. You can't get down close to the water because there's too much
There's a lot of foliage around it and growth
around it, so you can't get close to it. And I don't think they want you to because they put this little overlook up on it. So, but the cabin itself is not the original structure. They do have pictures of the original structure, and that is how they were able to reconstruct this cabin. In 1984, there was a flash flood that just took this cabin down to the ground. It was just rubble. But by these pictures and the history, they were able to rebuild the cabin, and they put it in its proper position. And it was finally completely restored in 2006. The cabin is open for visitors to explore. It provides a glimpse into what life was like in the remote desert area over a century ago. It's a fascinating piece of history that adds another layer to the diverse landscape and experiences at Ash Meadow. After spending some time at Longstreet Spring and Cabin, we got back into the car and drove out of the refuge, got back to our Airstream at the Longstreet Inn and Casino RV section, and we made it to our home away from home just before the winds went wild.
It was crazy windy out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised at how windy it could get. We had to basically just barricade ourselves in the Airstream. There was no going out to do anything. Yeah. The winds, in fact, were so fierce that we had our eye on the weather because the next day we were supposed to travel home. And we wanted to make sure that the winds were going to be subdued.
Yeah, we were grateful that we didn't travel that day.
Yeah, because when we did finally get out the next day, there was a very large truck that you could tell mm-hmm. had a wind event. And it wasn't going anywhere. There was like one of those gas tank things.
It fell over on its side.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah.
So driving in the wind with a trailer, not recommended if you can avoid it. High winds especially, yeah?
Yes.
So we do have some tips for you if you're going to visit Ash Meadows National Wildlife Refuge. And we're going to go through this list to help you plan your adventure there. Wear comfortable walking shoes, especially if you venture out on any dirt trails.
Bring plenty of water, especially if visiting during the hot summer months.
Pack yourself a lunch because there's no restaurants in the area.
Bring binoculars and keep an eye out for wildlife. You never know what unique creatures you may spot.
Come prepared with sunscreen, hats, and other sun protection as the refuge is located in a high desert environment with intense sun exposure.
Check the visitor center for any special events or guided tours happening during your visit.
And when you're in the area, do take time to read the interpretive panels that you'll find scattered around the refuge. They provide great information about different aspects of the refuge, from its geological formations to its diverse wildlife.
So I thoroughly enjoyed Ash Meadows. I just thought it was a fantastic experience.
Yeah, we spent several hours there. Mm-hmm. And I always like it when you go to these places and there's not crowds. And you kind of have the sense that you kind of have it somewhat to yourself. I mean, there were other people there, but it was like nowhere near the amount let's say, as an example of like when we were at Badwater Basin, where, you know, the parking lot is just jam-packed and dozens and dozens and dozens of people in the basin. This was much more remote, and I think it's more off the beaten path.
Yes.
So that concludes our latest adventure. We hope you enjoyed learning about the diverse ecosystem and rich history of Ash Meadows National Wildlife Refuge. And again, this is a great place to add to your list as another thing to do if you do come out to Death Valley National Park. It's about 40 minutes to the east of the park, so it's not a difficult drive, and you do get to see just more beauty of the desert area.
If you're not subscribing to us yet, take a minute, please, and subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite source for podcasts to catch our future episodes.
You can also subscribe to our travel stories and information on our website, theplaceswherewego.com. And it's also where you can subscribe to our newsletter for weekly travel news highlights curated for you by us.
Thank you for joining us on this podcast. Until next time, happy travels, and we hope to see you at the places where we go. If you have any comments or information to share with us about travel, you can write to us at comments@theplaceswherewego.com.
You can also follow us on social media. We're on Instagram as The Places Where We Go. You can find us on Twitter as The Places Where One, the number one. And you can watch our travel adventures on YouTube, where our channel name is The Places Where We Go.
Thanks for joining us, and we hope to see you at The Places Where We Go.
See you next time.
Bye now.